to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, as we continue our trek through the Gospel of John, we're looking at the same verses that we looked at last week. A little bit different emphasis. What is your vision of Christ? What is your vision of Christ? I want us to get this morning, your spiritual growth and your prayer confidence is tied directly to your vision of Christ. How big is your Christ? You analyze your prayer life and you're going to know how big your vision is. You look at your growth and where you're at today, where you were last week, and where you are right now, where you're going to be tomorrow. Your spiritual growth and your prayer confidence is tied directly to the size of your vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that He's huge in your mind and your heart. Let us pray. Father, we thank You this morning and give You praise for all that we have and enjoy as believers. And we are blessed beyond measure. And we have to admit that the blessing chips away at our confidence in You, chips away at our faith in You. And we ask that that not happen to us. May we be more than conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. I ask You, Holy Spirit, to fill me this morning for this message, that You bring it. I'm trusting in You to do that. I'm not trusting in myself at all, but totally in You. We just give You praise for the good things You've brought into our lives in recent weeks and months that we have had to fellowship around here at Faith Chapel. We marvel at Your wonder and Your grace. May we grow together in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When you get a bigger vision of Christ, your life is going to be enlarged. When you get a bigger vision of Christ, the things of earth are going to go down in your mind. You're going to be able to get rid of the drama of your life. And that's the word that you hear from a lot of people today. Their lives are full of drama. Just whatever. And everything is coming down the pike and assaulting them and their family and whatever it might be. What we need is a greater vision of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I have to say that most believers in America today need a bigger vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's too small to most. He's not as strong to them as He ought to be. And so when we get our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, then the everyday problems of life begin to go down, down, down. They are greatly diminished. And we accept those things as a part of the plan that God has for our life, not something to major on in our hearts. When we capture a greater vision of Christ, that will make a bigger difference in your neighborhood, in this community where we live. A greater vision of Christ, when people know how great Christ is to you. And this is a snowballing event. Growth to greatness, greatness to growth. And on that should go. Growth to greatness and greatness to growth. And this is the relationship with Christ that so many people lack and are missing in their Christian lives today. Their Christ is just not as big as He ought to be. You know, we were not created by God because He was lonely. You know, God was not lonely. And, I'm going to make these people so I have somebody to talk to and have fellowship. No, we were created for the glory of God. And in the Westminster Shorter Catechism, it says the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. It's all about Him. God created us, and as He spoke the world into existence, the morning stars sang together. Singing, music was involved in creation. It was happening immediately. You know, from Job to David, God's precious music was very, very important. But all the special creation events, they pale in comparison to God's joy in creating His people, you and me. His joy in doing that. And focusing on the greatness of Christ and His love will automatically fuel your praise and your service for Him. Focusing on the greatness of Christ will also enable us to stop focusing on all the troubles that we face in this life. You know, believers are enslaved by the drama of their lives today. And they need not be. They need a greater focus on the vision that they need to have of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It will also set us free from the defilement of this life. I'll tell you what. I think everybody in this country, in this world, especially believers, would love to be free from all the drama of their lives. Here's how you do it. Get a greater vision of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Focus on the greatness of Christ. He must increase and I must decrease. Our first point today is the light revealed. John chapter 1, verses 4, 5a, and 9. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness. Verse 9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, here's one of your answers for the folks when they come to you and they say, well, you know what? What about that guy on that South Seas island? He never heard about Christ. Well, my Bible says in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 9, that the true light shines into every man that cometh into the world. The light of Christ is always shining. It never stops. No one is exempted from it. Everybody receives the light. The light is shining. The light is on. And the light is drawing and attention to itself and convicting the souls of men, women, and children. Part of the greatness of Christ is that He is life-giving light that seeks for those who are in darkness. We have a hymn in our hymn book that talks about lost in the darkness. I wandered, or I stumbled along. Christ, the true light, shines everywhere, illuminating and bringing light and warmth in this world. Back in the days of World War II in London, they had nightly blackouts. And they say that you could see a lighted match for 20 miles. That's what you call light shining in the darkness. But you know what? That is nothing compared to the light of Christ. Because there is no end to where His light shines or where it can be seen. It does not stop at 20 miles. It goes on and on and on. The light of Christ is better than all of that. The important thing, though, is that the light of Christ enlightens every man, woman, and child. And the unfortunate thing is that men try to suppress that light. Men try to suppress that light. And we are recipients of those men and women in this country where the light of Christ is, they are attempting to suppress it. And they never will. They can't do it. Man is without excuse. The light of Christ holds men accountable. There will be no excuses when they stand before the Lord. God's light shines on in spite of the darkness. The darkness can never squelch it. It continually shines. God's love and light are still being received today. And we as believers here this morning must continue to walk in the light and pointing others to the light. Secondly, this morning, the light rejected. The light rejected, verse 5b, 10 and 11. And the darkness comprehended it not. He was in the world, verse 10. And the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. One of the saddest truths that we can ever know or think about is most people are and will reject the light. I was talking to a young Christian man this week, and he called me on the phone, and he was all excited because he was going to meet with somebody, and he knew that the opportunity was going to be there to present this person with the gospel. And so he called me and asked me for some pointers and what should I say and so forth, and after it happened, my wife and I were headed to the airport, and he called. And, you know, it was so, so nice to hear this young man so excited about his opportunity to present the gospel. And even though this man at that point did not receive it, he rejected it. He was given a Bible, and he accepted the Bible. And the excitement of this young man talking about his opportunity just fired my wife and I all up. I mean, we were like, whoa, this is exciting. You know, we almost about blew the roof off the car going down. I mean, it was just exciting. We're looking, smiling, and just listening to him talk. Wow. Most people reject the light. And the good news about all of this is that the darkness can never extinguish the light. It's never going to be extinguished. Christ the light came into this world, and the darkness jumped on that light and tried to strangle it, but it couldn't, and it won't, and it never will. Christ the light came into the world, and the world did not recognize him. He came into this world, the Lord Jesus came into this world, and he healed people all the time. And he fed them, and he worked miracles for them. And they rejected him. Rejected the light. They refused to acknowledge him. Here's the Lord Jesus. He is the light. He's in the world that he created. And it did not know who he was. That is a sad, sad truth. Good illustration of not recognizing the light is this poor family worked their farm, had almost nothing. Mom and Dad scraped and they saved and they pinched so that they could send their son off to college. And they did it. And one day, they decided, we need to go and visit our son. And so they sold some more of their possessions, and they went to see their son. And they arrived in their tattered clothing. And they walked up to their son. They said, "Son, we have come to see you." And his son looked at his mom and dad as if he did not recognize or know them. And he said to his friends, "I don't know who these people are." That's what happened to Jesus Christ. That's what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. Exactly what happened. He came unto his own, and his own rejected him. Talk about a sad and a pathetic story. You know, the Lord Jesus was rejected by people that he could have incinerated on the spot. All he had to do was say the word and they were toast. I mean, they'd have been burnt to a crisp. Had his glory not been veiled by his flesh. And here we are 2,000 years later. 2,000 years since the light walked on this earth, and the earth is still rejecting him. But his love keeps on shining. Keeps on shining. Because our great God, our Father, our Savior Jesus Christ is long-suffering, not willing that anyone should perish. But that all should come to repentance. We need to keep on seeing the greatness of Christ and the greatness of His love as He extends it to mankind. You know, the problem with so many Americans and with so many American Christians is that their security is in what they have, not in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And since their security is in what they have, their relationship is just pathetic. The trust in their Savior is not what it ought to be. They don't see the greatness of Christ. They don't see it. And it is a huge, huge problem. And that brings us to point number three, the good news. The good news is in point number three, the light received. The light received, verse number 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power, the right to become the sons, the children of God. Even to them that what? Believe on His name. That's a huge but in this verse. We have all this negative news, terrible news. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Not everyone has rejected the light. And there are those that are still receiving the light. And they will receive it today. And some more will receive it tomorrow. And the next day. The light is shining and the light is going to be received by some. This verse number 12 is an incredible statement. It is unbelievable that Jesus, the one who has created all things, should enable us to become His children. We sign this one. There is power in the blood of the Lamb. Power. No other blood is good enough. We need to hold on to these truths. The greatness of Christ and the greatness of His love. we have the great privilege to call God our Father. Abba, Father. Dearest Father. Those of us who have had a great relationship with our Father know what this is. A lot of folks call their Father Daddy. And we can call our God our dearest Daddy. Our dearest Father. The powerful Father. But before Jesus came, this was not possible. This was not possible. Turn to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 6. Galatians 4, 6. Powerful truth right here. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We see the Trinity here in this verse. We see all of our God in this verse. God has sent forth the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of His Son, Jesus, into your hearts. And by His Spirit, we can have this sweet fellowship and relationship. We have so much at our disposal as believers. Man, we've got to grab a hold of all of it. So much. This special relationship and this cry, Abba Father, is implanted into our hearts by the Holy Spirit that lives in our hearts. And we can cry out and we can say, Dearest Father. And here in John 1:12 that we're looking at this morning, God has made salvation so simple. So simple. Faith. Belief. It is not reserved for the folks who have, or the middle class. It is whosoever will may come. It is so simple. We don't have to do anything but believe. We just have to believe. In order to receive Him, you must believe in Him. Jesus is the eternal Christ who became incarnate flesh and walked on this earth and showed God the Father to men, women, and children, and they rejected Him. Jesus the Christ, He is the one that you must believe in order to receive Him. And once Jesus has come into your heart, you can cry, Abba, Father, my dearest Father. Jesus is the light, and the light has shined through the darkness, and this whole story is a love story from beginning to end. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Turn over to the Old Testament for one more verse, to the book of Zephaniah. Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah. I'm still singing that song to get to some of these books. Zephaniah, chapter 3. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. This is a precious verse that shows the relationship of our God to us, His children. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. Wow. He is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. Now here's the point of the end of Zephaniah 3:17. When God is pleased with His people, He sings over them. Now, those of you who were here last night, we had some singing over our Valentine, over our sweetheart. But I'll tell you what, that pales in comparison to this. It doesn't get any better than this. And what we need to see this morning is the greatness of our Christ. And when you do that, you're going to walk a confident Christian walk. And that fear that you had to talk to so-and-so about Jesus is going to go away. Because Jesus is powerful. He is great. He is awesome. He is our God. There is none like Him. Who in the world am I to get scared about anything? It's not it. The greatness of Christ. And so we can ask ourselves the question this morning, is God singing over us today? Is God singing over us today? Are we pleasing Him today? Are we focused on Christ the light? Or are we focused on the dramas of life? Where's our focus? And where that focus is will tell you where you are in this life. Focus on the greatness of Christ. Are you focused on man, the drama? Are you focused on receiving the praise of men? Or are you more interested in knowing that God is singing over you? Wow. There's something to meditate on this week. Every day we can make sure that our God is singing over us because we are pleasing Him. Please allow the light to penetrate your heart and view the awesomeness and the greatness of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You this morning for Your greatness, Your awesomeness. Thank You that we had the opportunity to be together as a church family today. And Father, we know that as we look at the awesome light of our Savior and focus on His greatness, we'll be in the right place. We'll be doing the right things. We will be seeking to please Your holy name. That we will be looking for the smile of God on our life. And the things of this world will be greatly, greatly diminished. And so we ask You as a collective body of believers in prayer right now this morning, may we see the greatness of Christ every day that we live. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.